Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week, or another month, I should say, of Movie Monthlies. I've already gotten it wrong, Sean. I am joined, as always, by my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
Going good, Conor. Good to be talking about, I'm assuming, just weird news or something, as usual these days.
So, a lot of people may not know is that we are still doing a movie based show. We have just now decided that instead of doing it weekly, whereas we could talk about rumours regarding Face Off 2, we've decided now that we're going to wait a few weeks, and every month we're going to give you a jam-packed show covering all of the stories from the previous 4 weeks. Basically all the top stories back to back from the previous few weeks.
Which is good, because we get like big stories, we don't miss out on things by a week, and then we're a week behind, and it's like, do we talk about it at all? And it's just, it's better quality stories as well. You get
I would say, now,
hitters.
Not better quality hosts, unfortunately.
Not
the
at
hosts
all.
Are still
worse,
the same.
In fact.
We've gotten worse with old age.
Gone downhill, folks.
So it has actually been 4 weeks since we talked movies, and Sean, I have found that me and you have talked movies more off mic than we ever did, because
genuinely the passion's coming back a little bit. I'm excited about things when I don't have to milk every little bit of information out of them.
Because I like movies again. I'm back.
It was just a phase when I didn't like movies. I got out of it.
If you also like movies, you can. We put up a review for Green Lantern over on our Patreon last week.
Hell yeah, we did.
And that was only, actually, it was like 2 days ago. And so we reviewed Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern from 2011. So that's part of all the movie reviews we do over there. It's for all the patrons. It's $5 a month and you get access to basically all the extra movie reviews. We also did an Oscars talk episode on the Patreon as well. So if you want to hear our thoughts on the Oscars, head on over there. It's like just a 15-minute review of all the Irish people losing. And us, I can only assume, aggressively stating how wrong that was. And you said Everything Everywhere All at Once was shit, if I remember correctly.
No, I said it was a really good film, quite heartfelt, and resonated with me in a lot of ways. Don't know where you got the other thing out of.
He's coming strong. You told me you'd like to do taxes and laundry with me. That's what you said.
I said in another life, not this one.
This one, you're a shithead. So, I'm sure in a different universe, you're nice. Sean, we're starting. You saying that to me. I would never say that to you, but don't you worry, right?
Thanks, lad. I appreciate it.
I know you get stressed.
Me? No, couldn't be.
So, Sean, there were so many places that I could have started for this month's episode of Movie Monthlies. Still not sure of the name, but
Monthly Mondays? That's not better.
We're figuring it out. I wanted to start with the news that interested me the most, And that was Gladiator 2, Sean.
Oh, yes, of course. because Man, I shouldn't have sold this as like big hitter news, because this is just for us.
So, we covered the news a few weeks ago that Mr. Paul Mescal was joining the Gladiator sequel. That's right, Mr. Paul Mescal, Normal People himself, Oscar nominee Paul Mescal.
Oscar nominated.
He's from here, like he's from where we are, and he's just a normal lad, and it's pretty cool that he's getting nominated, and we find it very funny. But he's been nominated for Best Actor at the Oscars. He is now starring in the Gladiator sequel. But not only that, we were like, that's funny, that's mad that he got that role, fucking hell, that's crazy. But now, Sean, not only is Paul starring in it, resident patron saint of the pod, Barry Keoghan, is also going to be in the movie. Sean, indeed, what do we do with Gladiator 2 now?
It's just Ireland, just on film now. Like, what's the... you don't cast those two and have them be best friends in the movie. They're rivals in this movie, oh, yeah. Surely.
Do you want to know the other casting news that came out?
Yeah.
Denzel Washington is in this movie.
What is this cast, lads? What's the end goal here?
Like, we were like, Gladiator 2, how is that movie even going to work? And now they've decided to do the Dungeons & Dragons thing, where you basically just get the best cast ever, and you can't say anything bad, because everybody that joins, you're like, fuck, they're really good. They wouldn't join something bad.
It's like, God, I want good things for them. So I guess I have to support this now.
So, I mean, we've got Barry on one side, and he will probably end up playing, I can only assume, as Barry's very good at playing a bastard, the Emperor. While Mescal will be playing Russell Crowe's son.
Going to say he's going to be the after-son of Maximus Decimus Aurelius.
Yes.
Oh, boys.
Yes. He's back. It's been 30 days since a movie pun, but we're back. Paul Mescal will be playing Russell Crowe's son, that is Maximus Decimus Meridius, if you remember correctly, if you probably forgot. And what's going to happen is you've got two Irish lads. I have one question, Sean, in regards to this whole production. What's the accents? What's the accent situation? What's
whatever accent
here?
They show up with on the day, clearly. You just... I don't know if I'll buy either of them with an accent that isn't their own. It's not that I don't think they can't do it. I just think they shouldn't.
No, I think for our amusement, maybe on the movie's benefit, it would be better if they did an accent, okay? But for me and Sean, and only me and Sean, I think those lads should come in and Barry should go, you're fucking dead, mate. And then Paul should go, fuck's sake, that's fucking mad. From after killing a load of lads.
It's like you ran the script for Gladiator through an Irish slang dictionary. I want that for, fair enough, do an accent, you know, a straight-laced down the line version first. But then dub it over and have the two lads just do it themselves.
They dub themselves.
And, like, summarise it. Yeah.
like, he's doing the big speech. I am Maximus Decimus Aurelius' son, father to whatever. And then at the end you go, it's just like, I'm great crack. That's the dub.
Now, what I will say, the press tour for this movie is going to be a delight.
Barry and Paul and Denzel on the press tour. Oh, Denzel, I'm assuming... And look, I know nothing. We don't know who he's playing. He's playing Paul Mescal's trainer. I can only guess.
Could very well be, yeah. Who else can we get in this movie? Kerry Condon, get her in.
Oscar nominee Kerry Condon.
Excuse me. Angela Bassett, get her in there. Why not? Oscar nominated, of course. Brendan Fraser.
I mean, the only logical thing you do is you have to cast the rest of the lads from Banshees of Inisherin and just call it a day.
Just for a day out, like.
Yeah, like you bring it in Gleeson, you bring it in Colin, and just being like, lads, go mad. And they could just be warriors in the back. Like, I think Brendan Gleeson could play a shithouse, like an ass kisser to the Emperor, who is Barry.
Could be. Yeah, and he's like the older dude, but he's still like subservient. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, like, because, you know the way, like, Seth Rogen has his whole crew and Adam Sandler has his whole crew that they all make
You're thinking of an Irish crew.
It's just the Irish crew. It's just, like, everyone who was in Banshees of Inisherin and Paul Mescal.
It's just the Boyles and Kerry.
Honestly, it's a fun group, it sounds like.
It seems like a group you'd want to hang out with. We're just all so proud of them that the more news that comes out about this movie, I think our little island is just like, fucking hell, lads. We're taking over. We've got two good ones.
Think of all the houses we can build.
Because Gleeson and Farrell, they've been doing it all themselves for ages. Yeah.
Carrying it on their back for so long.
Like, Pierce Brosnan was around, but he doesn't have an Irish accent. You've got Liam Neeson.
Jamie Dornan, but he did Wild Mountain Time.
We did have Magneto for a while. That was pretty good.
Fassbender years were good.
Fassbender years were good. But now this is Barry and this is Paul's time. I just want more Irishness in this movie than it has any right to have. And I think it'll be really funny if it does.
You know, yeah. And keep the accents. That's all I ask. Or give me the accent cut.
Can you imagine? I think Barry is good enough that he could do an accent. But I don't want to offend Paul.
You expect nothing of Paul.
I expect nothing of Paul because I think Paul is very good at playing the everyman. I think he's an excellent everyman.
But he's also Oscar nominated, Connor. He's very good actor.
He's just excellent in general. I think I'm too close to Paul. It's like, you know, like when you're a friend, I think we talked about this, but like when your friend is a surgeon, but like you seen him drunk in college. Like,
yeah.
And everyone's like, he's the best brain surgeon in the country. You're like, yeah, he got sick in a bin. Like, yeah, fair enough. Like, you can't see him as a great brain surgeon.
Yeah, the mescal effect, we call it.
Like, we've seen him. And like in Ballyharness, like if we've seen him
in
sausages ads here in Ireland, and it's just so hard that the rest of the world's like, he's the fucking man, and we're like, he is, but also not for the reasons you think he is.
What if he goes full Austin Butler and he speaks like Julius Caesar for the rest of his life?
Would you support him if he got rid of?
Ah, Jesus, I would.
Jesus, you would, Jesus.
He's still deep in the role, you know?
We just love him. Daniel Day-Lewis lived here for a while. We got to back him, obviously.
That's true. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of... Everyone's Irish at the end of the day. Like.
They all want to be. So, Sean, we're moving on to our next piece. I don't know why, lads. To be honest, I live here. It's all right.
It's fine, like... Australia's nice. Canada's nice.
A lot of us are going there, to be honest.
Yeah, it's the place to be.
So moving on to our next piece of news, Sean. And I love the fact we had a whole month and I just started with Paul and Barry just because I was like, it's Paul. Not even Denzel. Denzel's like, yeah, he's pretty good. But Barry and Paul.
To Paul and Barry.
But Sean, we're going to come next to a pretty big story in regards to Star Wars. And it's been 30 days, we've been away, and I feel like a lot of people need an update on Star Wars reportedly losing writers once again and kind of falling apart behind the scenes but consistently trying to do new stuff.
Have you just copy and pasted this from an old episode then?
No.
Because this is consistently the Lucasfilm story.
So Damon Lindelof, he is now not... He was down to write the next great Star Wars movie. And he was brought in and they were like, you're the man for the next project. But a new report has said that both Lindelof and Justin Britt Gibson have stepped away from the project now. So Star Wars has consistently now lost another writer for one of its projects that it had planned. It was meant to start filming next year for a 2025 premiere. Now the movie is no longer happening and is in limbo. This comes after, Sean, and why I bring this up is the fact that a few years ago, we also had Patty Jenkins. She was coming in and she was like, I'm going to direct the movie. Great. She's out, right? Her Rogue Squadron take is done. Rian Johnson, also out into the dust. Kevin Feige was brought in, if you remember, a few years ago.
I remember that.
And he was going to do his own Star Wars thing. Now it appears that his project is also in the dust. So, Sean, we go back to like Alden Ehrenreich right time of like Solo, when it seemed nothing was going right over there for any Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, but maybe this is all just like it's just people blowing smoke at the minute, because maybe it's good that they're just axing stuff and they're just going to focus on what's actually good and works, you know?
Like, true, but yeah. I mean, you did bring in Kevin Feige, Patty Jenkins, Rian Johnson. They're a pretty powerful trio to just be like, yeah, no. Taika Waititi's still technically moving forward with his one, but I mean, that's also now iffy, I can only assume, if we follow the trend.
Yeah, but I think Star Wars and Disney, like for the last few years, has just been reacting to what has been successful. And the most successful thing of Star Wars recently was Andor. So maybe they're just focusing on, let's do more stories in that world / time / genre, you know?
But that's just, and look, I don't want to put this onto them, but Star Wars and Warner Brothers have a lot in common, don't they? DC.
They do seem to, yeah, biting off more than they can chew, rushing things, not having a plan.
And then when something works, they get like they hit on one thing that works. They cancel everything else, and then they're like, "Right, we're going to make every project the same as that project because that worked." DC did that with Deadpool. That wasn't even their project.
No, yeah, but they decided that was the most successful thing and would be the most successful thing forever.
Ever. Forever. So I just wanted to let everyone know David Lindelof is now, his movie is no longer happening, or maybe if it is, he is no longer involved in writing it. So it's meant to have started filming next year. Going to be difficult with no writers on board currently.
Well, look, people have made movies without scripts before, and that's always gone great. It's only ever been good.
Their output at the minute, like with Lucasfilm, is very much Disney Plus shows, like you said. Like, they have Andor, they had Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I think that series should have been better than it actually was. And
yeah, I had fun with it, but yeah, I get what you mean.
I think we all expected it to be just amazing, and then it was good. And it's like, it's good. But
we all expected like this dark, thoughtful, mindful think piece on what it means to be a hero and a Jedi and all this kind of shit. And we just got like a little story about Obi-Wan. And it's still fine.
And look, it's absolutely fun. And also it has the Vader Obi-Wan fight, which is absolutely excellent. Yeah. But so it's good. So fucking good. But it's one of those when it came out, we were like, you brought McGregor back. Like, you got the only reason you bring him back is if you got a 10 out of 10 script. We got 6 episodes. Every single one is going to be The Last of Us. We're going to fucking kill this.
Just going to knock it out of the park, like.
And then, of course, you have The Mandalorian as well. So, like, they are very much focusing in on that. A lot of the movies, I don't know if they know what they want anymore. Now, I think they want Disney Plus shows with Favreau. But they also are like, yeah, but a movie makes a lot of money, but we just can't get anyone to write a movie that we like. Because Damon Lindelof came out and has actually said that, like, there was, I will just say, for reasons that I can't go into on this Sunday morning, on this day, the degree of difficulty is extremely, extremely, extremely high. If it can't be great, it shouldn't exist, he said.
I mean, yeah, kinda. But, like, with Star Wars, it's such a, like, it feels like it's something that should be handled with care, but it, like, historically just has not been, ever.
So Damon, there's this... You're quite good would be enough to promise.
Like, I don't think you're ever going to make everyone happy where Star Wars is concerned, but that's no reason to not try, either.
This is besides news, but I've seen a lot of The Last Jedi... like positive takes on Twitter recently with Rian Johnson, where I think a lot of people are now like, I actually think that movie was pretty good.
I mean, it's better than the Sky, the final Skywalker or whatever the last one is called.
Well, it had a good better. Message that anyone could be a hero. And then the tweet I seen was the number 8 was anyone could be a hero. And number 9 was lol joke. There's like 3 families. Yeah. Fuck you.
No, fuck you. You should have known better.
So Star Wars continues to just confuse us. Never has someone dropped the bag more. Just make a good one, I suppose.
Make something good. Get someone good in and just have them do something and let them do it the whole way through. Don't interfere.
And yeah, just... Like, Andor got great reviews. And I think it's because they didn't really... They were distracted by Obi-Wan. Like, they had a new shiny tie with Obi-Wan. And Andor was just quietly filming in the background. Just kind of like, yeah, minding its own business. And then that's why that's really good.
I'd be nearly sure that no one really knew what Andor was about, and so they weren't informed enough to fiddle.
Yeah, whereas there was probably guys with suits on the Obi-Wan set being
definitely.
We should do this. We did a survey.
Yeah. Let's check with the marketing guy.
So I want to move on to our next piece of news, Sean, and it involves the biggest man in the world, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. This is from 2 weeks ago. Obviously, Shazam 2 has now come out. To not great fanfare in terms of people going to see it. Not fantastic.
No, not doing well at the old box office.
Not doing well. But recently some news and report came out about Dwayne Johnson that during the Black Adam film, he very heavily prevented all of Shazam appearing in the movie. And just in terms of, he didn't want any connection between Black Adam or Shazam in his movie. Go on.
You're a DC fan, correct?
Yeah.
Are Shazam and Black Adam usually connected in any way?
I would say they are literally the Batman and Joker, or Lex Luthor and Superman, or any of the bad guys,
mortal
good
enemies.
Guys, just kind of mortal enemies. I would say Wonder Woman, Cheetah, maybe. Someone could kind of disagree in terms of Wonder Woman's big bad, but I would say if you got one, then normally when the other pops up in a comic book, you're like, oh, this is going to be a good story. We've got a proper hero, proper villain kind of story. The idea that he came in and was like, we don't want to have anything to do with Shazam. Shazam's a fucking dickhead. I'm Black Adam and I'm the best. It seems strange, and it's probably like, it's a unique story because it's not often we get a negative Dwayne Johnson report in terms of what's been going on. The most we got was, I think, with Vin Diesel, when the two of them had like a punch.
They had their like, weird feud or something. Kind of thing.
I think that was, and even then, I think because people don't like Vin Diesel, they went, well, that was just funny and it's weird. And also Vin Diesel's a bit weird. But this is one of those, the first stories I can remember for many years, where everyone was like, yeah, he was probably just wrong. That's not great. Yeah, that's not a great look.
The rumour that's floating around is that he wanted to set up like himself and Henry Cavill Superman as like the main events of the DC universe. Which is just... And like he just kind of burned bridges and shit to make that happen. And then his movie flopped anyway. And then Henry Cavill was, you know, let go as Superman. So it's all for nothing. Mm. And he burned everything for no reason.
And you're meant to... Apparently the mid-credits scene for Shazam 2 was going to see Zachary Levi's character join the Justice Society of America. But Johnson nicks the use of all Black Adam actors in the sequel and said that they were not allowed to use it, which doesn't make any sense.
No, and why does he get that kind of say as well? Like, why is he so heavily involved in another film that he's not even in, that he wants nothing to do with? Like,
yeah, it's just, the whole thing is just really strange, and it's just, it's, it really gives off the impression of like two lads at the playground like punching the head off each other, like these two guys, and the school is on fire, but they're like not concentrating on the fire. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna get one over this guy.
There's just a big bang of desperation off the whole thing, where he just wants to be he wants people to take him seriously as an actor, but he also doesn't play anything but himself. but he wants to be the big hero, you know?
Yeah.
Which Black Adam isn't even a hero. Like, he's an anti-hero, but not the way Dwayne Johnson plays.
To be honest with you, he's a fucking dick most of the time.
An awful, awful man.
Like, he's killed a lot of people in comic book version.
Ends justify the means kind of man.
Like, he will just kill anyone that he wants, mostly. And Shazam's kind of like, guys, we should probably not kill people. And Black Adam doesn't like that.
No, Black Adam's... I don't like Dwayne Johnson. Like, I know we have this feud with The Rock going for a long time, but it's just the whole bit of nicest man in the world is just really tired.
I think maybe you're just tired, Sean. Maybe you become cynical in your old age.
I've been cynical for ages. Like, have you listened to any of these shows?
No, I think this is one of those that, like, he's just outright wrong, and I think... I think he went way too far. I think he came in with the idea of Zachary Levi's Shazam is shit. We're going to make a cool one. I don't want anyone in related to this to do anything in relation to that, because it'll bring us down. Because his idea was they're going to start off a lot more movies. And it's just reading the room wrong completely, because everyone was kind of like, yeah, but we don't even really want you, because James Gunn just came in like 2 months before this.
And just announce what everyone was hoping would happen, which is a full reset, not limping along.
Yeah, like, you're out anywhere. So if you're out anywhere, I mean, at that point, who gives a shit? Just let them appear. Now, maybe this actually happened...
Shazam 2 was meant to come out before Black Adam.
Yeah, so maybe it did happen before the Gunn takeover, when I think The Rock was being told by executives, like, you're going to be the lead with Cavill. You and Kevin are going to be the lead. We'll give you whatever you want. We're going to give you a shit ton of money, and the two of you just carry it.
Even if the Black Adam movie was great, though, I don't know if I'd be excited for a Superman versus Black Adam fight.
No,
in that universe.
To go from Batman versus Superman to Superman versus Black Adam seems kind of strange.
And, like, Batman versus Superman was not good either.
No, but, like, in terms of name recognition... You've got lore in the sequel, really, rather than better.
This is true. Like, The Rock is simultaneously one of the biggest, most juiced men in the world, but also has the most fragile of egos, it feels like.
It's just, I'm interested to see how, and it's also his PR team is massive, so the fact that they couldn't quell this is kind of interesting to me.
Well, Zachary Levi talked about it on Instagram and shit as well, didn't he? Like, he basically confirmed all of the rumors.
I think Zachary's doing the old look over there. They're not talking about me, guys.
Not a great guy either, as it turns out.
Tilda Swinton also found out this week. Not fantastic. Okay.
Look. Who can say?
Okay, we're going to move on to our next piece of news, Sean. And we are talking about James Gunn's Superman. Because news came out in the last few weeks that James Gunn will be writing and directing DC Universe's upcoming Superman Legacy movie. So... this is the movie that's going to launch the new universe that he's creating. And I think we already kind of knew, but we didn't know. It was not announced who was going to direct it. It was just James Gunn's writing it. And I think when we went through like the upcoming slate, I think we were like, it would be really weird if he gets somebody else to direct that movie if he writes it.
Because not only is it Superman, but it sets the tone for... what the movies are going to be like that come after Superman. And because Superman, like, they're building this universe around this new all-star inspired Superman. Like, if you're you want to get that right, and you want to be like, no, this is what he is, this is what he's about, and lay it all out. There's no better person to direct that than the person who wrote it.
And also comic book writer Tom King discussed the DC Studios Creative Committee. So what James Gunn has done is he's brought in a lot of comic book writers at the minute who work with DC. And they're doing this thing called collaboration. And they're all going to be in sync with each other's ideas. So everything links up. everything makes sense and all characters are all very similar, which, I mean, you could have done 10 years ago, but who gives a fuck?
Look, we learn. We learn from these things, Connor. No, that's great. And like having comic book writers in there as well, you will get wilder ideas than a studio exec is going to pitch to you about how things can connect and what people will get on board with.
Yeah, so what the idea is that apparently Peter Safran and James Gunn, they've decided that Gunn will be writing and directing it, but in terms of the creation of the DC Universe, they have reached out to comic writers like Tom King, but they've also reached out to a lot of screenwriters. So they had a private meeting with a group of screenwriters and a few comic book writers to be like, right, start to finish, what are we doing? Where do we want to go with all of these characters? Big board. Right, here we go.
And it's kind of good. It's kind of a nice plan to make for an upcoming universe.
In regards to the movie itself, Sean, what does this kind of mean in terms of what we can expect? Like, James Gunn is a very different director than, say, Zack Snyder, who we had for the last Superman movie.
Yeah, it's... The tone is going to be a big thing. I don't think it's going to be like the Suicide Squad. I actually think it'll be closer to the Guardians Holiday Special, where there's a lot of heart behind it, and there's a lot of genuine, real emotion in it, but you can still have a good time watching it along the way. You know, I don't think it's going to be spectacle, where it's just them flying through buildings and shit like that. I think there'll actually be interesting character moments.
Now, he has also said, I mean, if you want to get even better news, is that he's basing it off of, as you said, the All-Star Superman comic book series, which was from, like, I think 05 to, like, I think it was just before New 52 came in, so maybe 08, 09. And the writer of that series was none other than Grant Morrison. So, I mean, if you're going to copy off anyone or get inspired by anyone, Grant Morrison, one of the greatest comic book writers that has ever lived, you might as well just do something that he did. Why not?
100%. 100%. Like, take inspiration. Also take inspiration from more than The Dark Knight Rises and The Killing Joke. Or Dark Knight Returns, excuse me. But, like, there's all these stories, and they're written by some of the best storytellers in the medium. So, like, yeah, take inspiration. Bring them on board. Ask them questions. How would you do this?
Why did you do that?
What would they do here?
What did you do in this situation? Why did you go that creative route? What do you have as your idea of Superman? Cool. What do you have? Cool. Let's put it all together. Let's make a fucking great Superman version, including all the best bits.
We're not doing What If Superman But Evil. We're not doing that again.
What If Superman But Sad?
Very nice. No, I think he's going to be happy Superman.
Just make Superman as a nice man, and he's just trying to do his best, and the world's fucking shit around them. And he's just like, dude, come on. But he's also not sad about it. He's like full of hope. He's just like, we can be better. Not, Jesus, all these guys are dickheads.
And I'm thinking, no origin in this one. Everyone knows Superman's origin.
Yeah, I don't think you need an origin. It's also been kind of rumored that this Superman will be a bit younger, but the Batman that they bring in will be slightly older. So I do kind of like that idea. I know it's been touched on Batman versus Superman, whatever, but like if he's got 1% bad, we're going to fucking shoot him in the head, kryptonite bullet. But I like the idea of an older Batman who kind of knows his shit. And he's just like, who the fuck is this guy? I don't trust him.
And not even like, he doesn't even have to be 60 or whatever. Like, he can be like a 35, 40 year old Batman who's been at it a while. Like, he's done some stuff. He's got a Robin now.
And also, he knows what aliens are. Like, Batman should know that shit and like be okay with it. He's fought them before.
Yeah, he's on board with it. Like, he's fought weirder shit. And then, like, you bring in this, like, 25, 30-year-old Superman, who's just that bit younger, and Batman doesn't instantly perceive him as a threat and want to kill him, but isn't cool with how he operates, basically. Thinks he should be more
controlled.
Not even
that he's not cool, he doesn't know what's going on. And he's kind of like, what's your goal? Like,
what's your end game?
You have all the powers.
You just want to help people? No.
Like, you have all the powers in the world. And, like, Superman would say, well, I just want to help people. And Batman obviously is like, nobody just wants to, like, because he only wants to help people. So he's like, no, you gotta have a other motive. What's the motive? And I always just go back to my favorite, one of my favorite comic book pals is, or a few of them anyway, is, I think it's in Super Sons. It might be in Super Sons when they're doing like a double date with Batman and Catwoman and Superman and Lois Lane. And you have the two couples getting to the meeting point of where they're going to meet up, and it's basically Batman telling Catwoman how great of a, like, how great of a hero Superman is. He's like, he's the greatest hero that's ever lived. And Superman, it swaps to Superman, he's telling Lois, like, Batman's just a man, he's the greatest man that's ever lived. And the two of them are just each other's biggest fans, but then when they meet, they're just like, well,
yeah,
what's going on?
Just like a stern look and a handshake, maybe. Like,
but like quietly, they're just like full of respect for what the other person brings.
Yeah, like that kind of dynamic is really, really fun. And, you know, when you don't have the characters become enemies straight away, you get the opportunity to explore that kind of stuff.
And you can build a sort of like, if you wanted to go another way, you could have the scene where, like, I love World's Finest, the animated movie, and it has that scene where Batman encounters Superman, and Superman, like, peeks under Batman's cowl and is just like, Bruce Wayne, and he's just like, you fucking peaked. And so what he does is he pretends to fight him, and he like flips him over. Superman's like, what the fuck are you doing trying to like kung fu me? Like, I'm fucking Superman. He flies home, gets into his apartment, and Batman put a fucking tracker on his suit, and Superman just looks out the window, and Batman's like 3 miles away on a building with binoculars, and he just goes, Clark Kent, nice to see you. He's just like, now you know.
Yeah. Now we're on a level playing field, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, man. I love it. Okay, let's see what happens. I'm excited. I hope James Gunn does a good movie. It's not often he does a bad one. So,
no.
Fills me with hope. So,
yeah, maybe it'll be like Slither.
It just completely does Slither.
Just out of left field. It's like a body horror kind of thing.
Just disgusting shit. We're going to move on to a story that I have specifically thrown in because Sean thinks that just because this show has gone monthly, he's gotten away from stories that I've thrown in just to annoy him.
Oh, that's not really the case, think listeners. That. I thought that's that was just for filling time in the day. No, you revel in this.
No, well, I mean, I just feel like you needed to know this story. It's very important. We've had a long time. Only the best stories can make this true, Shaw. Well, a new live-action version of the Disney film The Aristocats is on the way.
Why? Have we not learned that adapting Cats into live-action, bad
works
move?
Works so well. It works real well. No. Like, what are you talking about? Famously. Remember that movie, Cats?
I remember Jason Derulo looking like a cat, yeah. I forgot Idris Elba was in that.
Wasn't Judi Dench in that movie?
Yeah, Judi Dench was in it. T-Swift was in it.
Like, T-Swizzle was in it as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
What's going on there, lads?
Well, like, we're now getting... So, do you remember The Lion King that did that weird, like, live-action CGI
kind
of thing?
I've not seen either version of The Lion King, but yes, I do remember.
What are you talking about? The animated one is amazing.
It is, and I've seen a bunch of, like, clips. I never watched The Lion King.
You haven't lived. You have not lived. Well, have you seen The Aristocats?
Yes, but like
that's
once
outrageous.
Back in the day.
It's mad that you've seen The Aristocats and not Lion King.
I think they had a book of Aristocats back in the day.
The Aristocats, if you would like to know, it was a trailer on the VHS videotape of Batman and Robin. I remember that
was
well.
Was it now?
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Interesting.
It was pretty good.
Interesting.
It might have been the Power Rangers movie. It was on one of them. It was one of the trailers. And then
one of the two movies that you rented on repeat.
Non-stop. Or it was also, the other trailer was the Lost Baby in New York movie. That's in the Power Rangers video.
Oh, man.
Yeah. random memorabilia that I just have it in my brain. But yes, if you don't know what a VHS tape is, I can't help you. I'm very old.
We're too old. You shouldn't be listening to this.
The Aristocats, a live-action version. Sean, how excited are you about this new announcement?
Not excited at all. I've never been less excited about anything, I don't think. Who cares about this? Who likes the Aristocats so much that they want to see it in live action that they won't just rewatch the animated one?
Yeah. We need a live action version. It's pretty good. So, like, if you need a reminder of the plot, Sean, I have it here just in case.
Please.
I thought you'd forget. It's about a group of pampered cats living in Paris who are in line to inherit a fortune from their pet owner. But when their owner's butler jealously kidnaps them and abandons them in the French countryside, they must join forces with a streetwise tomcat to get back to the city. It's a fucking fantastic story idea to put in a live-action movie 30 years later.
It's wonderful as an animated tale for children, a storybook perhaps. But why do I want to watch? What's better about this if it's real cats?
I hope they bring back Jason Derulo.
Like, what? I don't. Oh man!
Jason Derulo constantly just appears in cat-based live-action movies.
That's his writing. Anytime there's a cat movie, he has to be in it.
His agent reaches out to them. It's like, Jason's in. What are you offering?
What slow down song are they going to use in the fucking trailer for this one?
Is there any original songs
in Aristocats?
Tom Jones, Pussycat. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But like, what's real slow acoustic version.
Yeah. You're right. No, what? You're entirely right.
Yes. I'd bring in Tom. Give Tom a paycheck for doing that in slow version.
Is Tom still going?
Yeah, Tom's still going. Tom's still going well.
Fucking, I'm not accusing me of anything.
Tom's fantastic. He's on the Voice UK these days. He's living it up.
1940 he was born. Jesus Christ. 82 years old and still fucking singing and dancing.
And he sounds pretty good for a man who's been singing for at least...
Oh, he's still got it.
He's still got it. I suppose he started low. Like, he was low when he was 20, so he could just continue to be low.
That's true. And also, sorry, Sir Tom Jones.
How dare you? Sir Tom Jones, yes. I think I said Tom Jones first, though, but Sir Tom Jones. I just wanted to throw that news story in to ruin your day, to be honest.
You've succeeded.
Well, if you want some good news, I have a follow-up report on a story we talked about a few months ago, and that is Blade. Mahershala Ali, Oscar winner. Not nominee, winner, Mahershala Ali. He is cast as Blade for Marvel Studios, a studio that never does anything wrong ever. And he has
had, famous you made, a lot of big wins these days.
Nothing but net, as they say. he has been cast as Blade. And a few months ago, it came out that they were maybe having a bit of a delay in production due to the fact that the script was absolutely fucking dog shit. That was hindering them greatly.
Wasn't there something like the script was 90 pages long? And a lot of it was just fight scenes.
And apparently the further news is that Blade's Mahershala Ali had requested multiple script changes. The script changes were all the time for a number of months because of Ali, because he kept reading it being like, this is really bad. And the setbacks to the production stage were over and over and over again, because the delays were just like, every time they tried to film something, Ali would then read the script and go, this doesn't work, rewrite it again.
Here's the thing, if this story had come out 5-10 years ago, I would put that down to an actor being difficult.
Yes.
Now I'm like, no, this is an actor who knows their shit and isn't willing to be taken for a ride on this and knows he can call them on this stuff.
And the idea is because, like, he's one of the best actors working in the world, and I don't think it's in a way that's, like, I don't think he's doing it because that's not my character. I think it's mostly he's read a lot of Blade comic books, and they gave him something that wasn't really good, and he was like, I don't think the fans are going to like it, And also, this doesn't make any sense because 30 yeah. pages from now, you're going to do something different.
This isn't like Fast and Furious, we have a number of times we've been punched contract. It's genuinely just, no, this story isn't making sense. It's not true to the character. It's not tracking right. We can do better on this. Now is the time to do it and not just fix it in the edit. Like, and, genuinely, and, this is... it sucks that it's slowed down, but it's a good news story and maybe they'll fucking learn a lesson from it.
And I think, as you said, a few years ago, this wouldn't have happened, but because they're doing nothing but net recently, I think now the actors, it's no longer a guaranteed win, is the thing.
Yes, which, it's no longer bound to be successful and make a bajillion dollars. Like, we have to make good movies if we want
because
people
there was
them.
A few years after Guardians of the Galaxy when it was just once Guardians worked, it was like, well, fuck it, here we go. Like, literally, if I get signed on to any of these movies, I'm making money forever. It's absolutely perfect.
Whereas now it's just, if I get signed on to these, it might be for a bit part for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, and I think maybe the Eternals, I think, also plays into that because, like, they were the last, like, full-on let's go with this, and that did not get received well. And that had a very strong cast. So, like,
oh, it did. Like, and then you had something like Love and Thunder, which, following on from Ragnarok, surely that's a clear win. Surely you can just ride the coattails of what was successful before. No. If it's a bad movie, people will say it's a bad movie.
Which I don't think happened previously. I think it was like, because you were in the phase of like, even if the movie was only fine, okay, we're going to get to the next one. And also, a lot of those movies are real good. I don't think there shouldn't be revisionist history to be like, oh, all Marvel movies were shit all along. It just took us this long to realize it. They were all pretty strong for
the
like
first
22
27
movies.
Or so. Yeah, 22. Like, they're all pretty good. Like even the worst of them.
One is Thor the Dark World.
Yeah, and that's like, it's not even that, it's not the worst one now by any means. No. But like I went back and watched that like a year or so ago. And like, it's not, at least it's a movie. Like, it's not just trying to do jokes every 30 seconds. It's trying to tell a story. It's a bit messy, but it's doing its best. Like, it's complete, you know? You can watch it on its own.
And also, what I would say is, it doesn't really, it's actually, one of its negatives at the time was, oh, it doesn't do a good job of setting up the rest of the universe. But I actually think that adds to its benefit when we go back to watch it, because you don't have to look at all these things that are going on everywhere else. It's just, this is a movie, and it might be bad, but at least it's contained in this one movie.
That's the thing. And like, I it's a joke on the show, like, but I like The Incredible Hulk a lot. And going back to watch that movie, at least it's a full package. And you're in and you're out, and you have a bit of fun along the way, you know?
I wouldn't say a bit of fun. I mean,
a load of fun, sorry.
But we did watch it. That is also over on the Patreon, if you want to listen to that. We did review that as well. But yeah, I just think stories like this are really, this is the first time in a long time that we've been hearing stuff like this. And it's because Mahershala Ali he's so revered as like, he's really fucking great. And also, when he got cast, everyone was like, holy shit, that's the best casting they could have possibly done for Blade.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I think he's got a lot of sway in what he's saying.
I did also read the news that apparently the Kit Harington, the Black Knight stuff, apparently a lot of that's being, or most of it is being cut out of the Blade script. Which, look, if it's drawing focus away from Blade fighting vampires and doing that stuff, then absolutely get rid of it. Don't just shoehorn it in.
And
there.
The more I thought about, I think when we first heard that, we were like, oh, that's so cool. Like, Blade can train him. But if it is a first Blade movie of this thing, I think that's very difficult to do that balance of like, unless you do the thing of Kit follows him around into all these dens, and it's basically like the Blade 1 movie with Wesley Snipes, where he's so experienced that he's telling our new character, and Kit would be us as the viewers, being like, oh, this is fucking weird. There's zombies, or there's not zombies, there's vampires everywhere.
Yeah, that could work. Or you just have Kit show up in like the post-credit scene, and then he gets a special presentation on Disney Plus. That's his own little story, and then he can just
that I would watch.
Yeah, fair enough. Totally fair. Can't blame him.
No offense to Kit. He's a lovely man. Great hair, but I'm not going to watch that.
Great hair on Kit.
Oh, fantastic hair on Kit. Have you seen that show? Is it Interrogation? Not Interrogation. Is it not?
I know the one you're talking about, but I haven't seen it. Yeah, it's Kit Harington fucking.
Yeah, it's just basically like 45 minutes of like them interrogating people about murders, and you find out about the case through context of them like telling them evidence. And he plays a really great part, like a really, really good part. He's in that.
I'll have to watch it.
He's in the UK version. I think there's like a French version and a Spanish version. And I've actually seen them all. I watched the UK one. I was like, let's watch them all. Come on.
Just big into crime.
Big into crime. So we're finishing off Movie Mondays this month.
Movie Mondays, Connor. Monthly Mondays. Monthly
not Movie Mondays. We really need to send in your ideas for what it should be called. Movie Monthly Mondays?
Monthly Movie Mondays? Monthly Mondays.
Movie Mondays. But then I suppose there's other Mondays that aren't.
We can just call it Movie Mondays and just be like, and then next month we'll have another Movie Mondays.
True, that is true. Let us know if you are confused.
Right. Yeah, because we are.
We so fucking are. But we're finishing off with, I think, some fantastic news. And this news came out last week. Fantastic news, Sean.
Interesting choice of words, Connor.
Yeah. I'm not talking about Fantastic Four.
Oh, right, okay. Jesus, thought you were setting up for something there.
They got a writer on with, like, Avatar Way of Water's writers coming in to do that.
That's what I thought the news was. And I was like, oh, we're finishing on that.
Sean, we got bigger fish to fry. Right, we got the Batman 2.
Ah.
Reportedly includes a live-action supervillain known as Clayface in a major role, if the report is to be believed, Sean.
Years. I think episode fucking 19 or something of this show, we pitched a Clayface Batman movie.
I remember being a child and being like, wouldn't it be cool if Clayface was in the Batman? That would be such a good idea. And I don't know if that audio even exists anymore. It's got to be
There's a video on the Instagram. You'll have to scroll back a bit to find it, probably. But there is a video where it's like a 1 minute thing where we talk about it.
And you can also tell our different mics, because we were literally like just started.
Yeah, it's not good. No, the audio by all means, terrible.
But the content, also terrible. But we love Clayface. So this is before Barry came along.
BB.
Clayface was our big pitch for the Batman for so long. We were like, you have a movie where the Batman is new. He doesn't know what he is, which is something they did. But our pitch was the villain should be Clayface because he can be whatever he wants to be. He can constantly morph into somebody else. And Batman can't. He's just stuck there and he has to grow.
Yeah, and he has to accept both sides of himself, that he's Batman and Bruce Wayne, which he hasn't quite done yet, of the end of Batman 1, he's mostly Batman. And then you had the great thing of, like, Clayface has this whole thing to him of, like, no, you're still wearing a mask. Like, you're pretending to be something you're not. And he's like, he needs to deal with his parents' grief before he can actually fucking help people. Like, it's so good. I don't know why it's taken this long.
Like, Clayface is an invisible villain they never touch, ever. But, it's something that I was always like, he's such a good villain to do in movies because he's fucking weird and he's icky. But he's also, and like, I don't mean this as a pun, he's really, really adaptable, right? In terms of, he can be whatever you need him to be.
There's been versions of Clayface that he's just a disguise guy, right?
Yeah, like, and there's been versions where he's good. There's been the version that I assume they're probably going to go is with the actor to
Basil Karloff?
Yeah, Basil Karloff. He's the actor on TV or in plays. He gets into an accident and he becomes Clayface. And he's all about appearance. He's obsessed with, like, not aging. And he's like, I'm going to be the best actor of all time. Like, he sees a wrinkle. He's like, they're going to kick me off the TV. Everyone on the TV has to be beautiful. And then he gets turned into a monster.
Yeah. And now, I don't know, will they do Big Clay Monster in the Batman universe? But he could be like a disguise guy, could be a fucked up plastic surgeon, and then that's how you do Hush in the third movie.
Yeah, and I don't know what way they're going to do it, but like, I think it's fucking fascinating that they're even going to go that way. Like, the first thing I always think of is the animated series that might surprise you, Sean, for Batman, the animated series.
It's your main frame of reference for most Clayface things. Not even Batman.
It's the best Batman. It's the iteration of Batman ever put on screen anywhere. But they basically do a episode with Clayface where Batman comes in and he's like in the TV studio and he's like being whoever he wants to be. Like, he's just morphing into different people. And Batman's, the way he defeats him is like he has it on all the screens. He has the camera with the Clayface. Like, he's like, this is what you look like now. Like, yeah. Stop trying to be somebody else. This is, and Clayface goes mad because he can't accept the fact that he's now a monster.
He can't accept who he is, and that's his undoing. Like, and he's the perfect villain. Like, he's going to do bad things. That's a given. He's a villain. But he's one that Batman could, rehabilitate and learn from lessons in the past where he's just throwing them in jail. It's like, this could be an effort towards, let's work on this dude and, like, help him.
Yeah, and because Clayface has been good in the comic books as well, like,
yeah,
and he's been part of the Bat, I'm going to say the Bat family, but you just mean like the bigger people like trying to help Gotham for the last few years in comic books. I don't know if he's got evil recently, but a few years ago,
last time
anyway,
you checked in, it was
last time, a few years ago. I was reading like a Nightwing comic book and he popped up, right? And he's right. Like, I'm with you guys, don't worry about it. I'm like, cool.
Like how Poison Ivy is on side sometimes and things like that.
Yeah, and like the Riddler was a good guy for a while because these characters are like, you can adapt them to whatever you need them to be. It's not like Joker, he's just an outright serial killer. You can do something interesting and you can still go the route of like, Batman doesn't know what he is yet. He's kind of halfway there to where he's meant to be in this universe, as we see in the first movie. Now we've got a villain who can kind of change, and Batman's got to change who he is and like become the proper hero while Clayface can be whatever he wants. And there's like that mirror image.
Also a really good opportunity for more detective stuff. Because if you have someone that, you know, looks different every time he commits a crime, you have to go the investigation route hardcore into trying
to find. I'm talking Pattinson's picking up patches of the clay at crime scenes, putting it under microscopes, trying to figure out how it works, trying to figure out ways that he can stop it. Like, he's got the big back computer in the cave, and it's just like, what is this stuff that he's made of? How do we stop him? And I would always assume you stop him with freezing him. That's normally a good way. There's also an episode of the animated series where Robin follows a little girl, and it turns out the little girl is actually Clayface. Clayface is half dead, and as his last resort, he creates like a tent of himself as a little girl, like goes running for help to try and find out what's out there. Robin saves her and then finds out that she's not even a human. She's part of Clayface. But like, she forgets that she's part of Clayface. It's a whole thing.
What about the episode of the Harley Quinn animated series where Clayface's hand becomes sentient and becomes best friends with Jim Gordon?
What about the part when he goes, Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga. Alan Tudyk, man. What a Clayface.
I don't know what you're going to do with this. I know it's a good idea, and I also know Matt Reeves is a fucking genius. So yeah, let's just see what he fucking does. Would you do body horror or would you do like, I'm going to say the other side of that is not body horror, but I don't know how better to word that.
I think instead of like, so instead of the aliens from Slither, it would be more like the aliens from District 9, where it's a realistic but different and strange enough to be noteworthy, but it's not, you're not going there just to see fucked up Clayface effects.
And I mean, he could be going around. What version of Clayface we take? Are we taking Operation Gone Wrong? Like, he went, something happened while he got injected by something that would help him, like, be young forever? Or are we taking, like, falls into a big vat of weird shit?
I think Operation Gone Wrong. I think don't do the vat of chemicals in this universe, maybe. You get one of those, and maybe Barry already fell into it.
Yeah, I think you do the actor, they have this last-ditch operation that they're like, is going to heal you. But it is also, I understand, it's a bit out there for this universe. Because this is a very grounded universe. So it's very difficult of, I don't know how exactly they're going to get around this. Because we don't even know what exists in this Gotham Elseworld that's going on.
No, yeah, like this is all we've seen. Like we have one frame of reference for this. But it, like, that's kind of nice because it means you can do whatever you want and just build that into the universe. Then you can just scale it. Matt Reeves is the one doing it, so assumedly he knows what he wants the limits to be.
And also, I mean, it works better if Batman hasn't seen anything like this before, and we're with we're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
because you always have to have that moment in all Batman comic books where he starts off fighting criminals and he's like, this guy's made of fucking mud. What the fuck?
Oh, okay, guess we're dealing with this now.
Guess we gotta adapt to this. Cool, that guy's made of ice.
Class.
I think that's it for this month's Movie Monthly, Sean. I think we covered all of them. If we missed any big stories, please send them in, but we probably won't get to them, if we're honest.
No, we have a whole nother month to talk about come May. So
exactly. And also, we've got Weird News Wednesday coming out. We've got Hero Zero. We've also got all those movie reviews over at the Patreon. We've got Oscar reviews. We also had a listener hangout like last week. Lots of stuff going on over there.
Lots of stuff. A lot of fun. And yeah, it does help to support the show hugely as well. Like, it helps us keep it going, do as much as we can, as often as we can. Just quickly, thank you to all of our patrons. Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Russ, congrats boys, since dropping your weekly movie show. You've only talked about movies in both Weird News Wednesdays. Parfit. We love movies so much now, Russ. Waffles, David Clark, Sean Chuckle in the Wash, and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Wallers, Forever Helmroos, Danny McLaughlin, You Are the Spark That Will Boil the Kettle, That Will Make the Coffee, That Will Burn the First Order Down, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost, Ed Ball, The Adventures of Indiana Jones and the Franchise That Just Won't Die, Lorraine and Connor have swapped the order of their names to purposefully bamboozle Sean, Jackson Broomheim, Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsily subscribed to the Patreon, and Kieran Lawler. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the show. If you want to join those people, head on over to patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link is in the description. There's a merch store as well. It's heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter's at heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's discussion group. Instagram is heroesforhirepodcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I have been Conor Lawler.
I have been Sean Meehan.
We shall see you all next month, guys.
See you next month. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.